This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And, you know, with the holidays here and you get together with your family and say, you know what, family, we miss you guys. I mean, well, most of you anyway. It'd be great to spend a little more time with you. How about a family vacation at Walt Disney World? Yeah, Mom, that's a great idea. Great. Let's do it. And you know what? MEI and Mouse Travel's here to help you. By the way, try to guess who I was in that little shtick there. MEI and Mouse Travel's here to help you plan that trip, make it a reality, get a great deal on your Walt Disney World vacation, and make, you know, just have all that, again, great memories in the happiest, well, one of the happiest places on earth. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, December 17th, 2014, and this is episode 1436 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a blogger for TouringPlans.com, and he's also the co-host of the Mickey Miles podcast. So welcome to the show, Michael.
Throughout the entire tale, don't move.
Tough to be a bug.
Nope.
Enchanted Tales with Belle.
Right.
Wow.
No.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lumiere says that.
Throughout the entire tale, don't move?
Lumiere says that.
To the guards, right?
Yep.
To the knights.
I think you guys are just making this up at this point.
Also joining us on today's show, Len Testa, co-author of The Interesting Guide to Walt Disney World, host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. And Len, I want to wish you and all of our listeners a very happy second night of Hanukkah.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Also joining us on today's show, Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Matt, were you Judd Nelson's character in The Breakfast Club during the ad read?
Yeah, exactly. That was exactly who I was.
Thank you. Really? Or are you making that up? No?
No, I went between like being like the patriarch, the matriarch, cousin Fred. Like, oh. I realized I was like making a lot of voices and it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
I was so excited there for a minute.
Sorry. On today's show, we're answering your listener emails. We'd love to have your emails as well. You can email us questions at wdwtoday.com. That's right, questions at wdwtoday.com. We'll kick things off with an email from Alyssa, in Long Valley, New Jersey. By the way, all New Jersey people, we need to let us know which exit you are off the turnpike.
Yeah.
During Food and Wine Festival this year, we dined for the first time at the Flying Fish Cafe at the Boardwalk. Mm. We walked in to check in and found there was a long line to just let them know we were there. We had a reservation. After a 5 to 10 minute wait, we checked in and sat and waited for our table. We could tell at this point that there was some kind of commotion going on at the check-in desk, and the atmosphere was tense. Clearly, a lot of people were unhappy. It seemed like there was a party who had a reservation for 4, but wanted to change it to 8. Thanks a lot, Len.
It's true.
We were sat and could tell there was still some disagreement going on with that party. It seemed like they were unable to accommodate this family's request to increase their party size. They left very disgruntled. A few days later, we were sitting outside at Epcot and could hear the Eat to the Beat concert in the background. I recognized the song, but had no idea who the artist was. My husband guessed it was Billy Ocean and looked up it on his phone to see if it was correct. He discovered he was, and then he held the phone up to me and said, "Do you recognize this guy?" It turned out the family at the Flying Fish was Billy Ocean and his family. I was shocked to realize that they were trying to have dinner, and Disney did not seem bend over backwards to try to accommodate them. I know Len has said that he does this many times, that some WWE nerds refer to showing up with more people than have originally been a reservation, pulling a Len. So does this mean that Len is officially a bigger celebrity than Billy Ocean?
Okay, that may actually be true.
He may be a bigger celebrity, but he's no Caribbean queen.
I know, right? We all may be bigger celebrities. I was just saying pretty much everybody on this call, including the letter writer, might be bigger celebrities. You know, I'm mildly Flying Fish is very popular, so it depends on the time that they went and the number of reservations that they had. But as you guys know, I please and thank you go a long way.
Attitude is a huge thing about it.
Yeah. Please and thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you go in saying, you know, my Grammy and I would like an extra, you know, 4 more tables. You know, I've never been. Have I ever been? Have we ever been declined for a? increasing the number of people on reservation? I can't. I think Le Cellier might have been once, but I mean, I've done this many dozens of times.
By the way, on that note, Alyssa writes in her email as a side note, I have tried to increase the party size on my reservation for my 30th birthday from 2 to 4 at California Grill, and I've been told it was not possible by 2 cast members. I guess this phenomenon of pulling a line is reserved for WDW Day Royalty. Sing with me now. We'll never be royal.
Wow. So it's a California Grill too. Cause I've gone at California Grill on opening night. I went like 16 to 22 and they were fine with it.
You know, the other thing I think that's also important. I mean, being nice is always key, but also not like, there's a way to say like when I do it, I'll be like, you know, hi, I'm here to check in party Hotchberg. Oh, okay. You have a party of 4? Oh, no, it's actually 6. That's how you say it. Don't ask. Don't ask for permission. Right? It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Right? Yeah. Or whatever, however that saying goes. So
my travel agent must have got me the wrong.
What? 4? No.
What? 4? No.
Seinfeld? 4?
That's not even all the kids. Okay. Yeah, right. Huh. That's interesting. Flying fish. That's interesting. I'll have to check that out the next time I do dining.
Next, we have an email from Kimberly from Houston, Texas.
Go Rockets.
What's that?
Go Rockets.
I'm a recent avid listener of your show and really appreciate all the work you guys put into the podcast. My family of 3, my husband, me, and our 5-year-old daughter are heading to the world for Christmas week. Eek, I know.
Yay.
For the first time, and I, for one, am having some anxiety about it. The main reason we're going to Disney World for Christmas week is that we can check it off our bucket list. We usually go to Walt Disney World during the beginning of December or Martin Luther King weekend. However, after lots of podcast listening and planning, I've read that the best way to combat Christmas crowds is to get to the parks before rope drop and leave for the afternoon and return that evening. Yes. I made dinner reservations for Liberty Tree Tavern and the Wishes Dessert Party on Christmas Day. We also have Fast Pass reservations for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, the Christmas Parade, and Anna and Elsa Meet and Greet, also on Christmas Day.
Score! Wow.
Do you guys have any other tips to deal with the Christmas crowds and craziness? We'll be staying at Pop in a preferred room and we'll be driving in from Houston.
That's a hike. You know, I would definitely take those mid-afternoon breaks. You're going to get away from the largest part of the crowd. Plus, you get to see the parks at night when it's prettier. But I think she's set though. I mean, she's got good Fast Pass reservations. She's got good dining reservations.
Yeah, and that morning thing is key. I remember a couple of years in studios in the morning. And if you get there really a rope drop and again on Christmas Day they'll open up the park way before the posted time. So give yourself honestly, I would get there somewhere between 90 and 180 minutes before park time.
Well, so the park is officially opening at 8, so with extra magic hours, it'll open at 7, but I'm telling you, it'll be open at 6. At 6:40, it'll be open.
Yeah. So get it there way early so you can take advantage of it. And honestly, people, especially Christmas morning, there's the crowds don't really rush in, much like, you know, after, I guess, they're going to church or doing stuff with their family. They don't come in until later in the morning. So those first few hours, actually, at first, I remember doing the studios on Christmas Day a couple times and being like, wow, it's kind of dead over here. But they eventually do show up
en masse. Yeah.
But, if you can get that morning thing like Kimberly had said, it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, definitely follow the touring plan as strictly as you can for the first couple hours and you'll be set.
Kimberly also has another question. I have a question in regards to upgrading our 8-day park hopper tickets to annual passes. If we plan on going a couple more Disney World trips, 3 to 5 days each, is it worth upgrading to an annual pass? We're also planning to head to Disneyland for spring break. Should we just buy regular park tickets for that trip as well?
So that's 14 to 18 days at World. I think that's a no-brainer for the annual pass thing. Just not even talking about discounts on the hotel. For the Disneyland thing, it depends on how long your trip is. Like, I think for 3 days, probably doesn't make sense to go to the Premier Pass.
3 days?
Yeah, I think 3. No, because it's like $1,100 now for the Premier Pass.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think.
I don't know. I want to say 6. Between 6 and 8 maybe would make
sense. 5. Yeah. Yeah. So it depends. Depends on if you're getting hotel discounts too.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Very good. Next is from Tim from Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. I'm planning a trip for the beginning of October 2015. Going with me are my parents, my sister, and her boyfriend. We'll have 3 different reservations, mine, my parents, and my sister's. You said before that we could all share a Magic Maker if we were friends on My Disney Experience. How does that work? If I purchase Magic Maker, will it be on all 5 of our Magic Bands?
Yes.
Yep. You just link them all together and...
Yep. Yeah, you're all friends and then you'll be able to do it.
Very good. Next email from Tom Chapman. I'm returning to the world in February from England for the sixth time to scout some venues for our planned 2016 wedding. We're looking at an escape wedding. Which venue would you suggest? Also, what extras are worth adding? Dessert party, etc. We'll be there for both our birthdays in February. We have California Grill booked for my fiance, but what shall we do for mine? We have ADRs for Boma, Ohana, and Brown Derby already.
All right, good choices.
So first things first, I'm a realist. Which venue would you suggest for the wedding?
So wait, they're at California Grill, Boma.
Boma, Ohana, and Brown Derby. But they're talking about venues for the wedding. Like, I think if I mean like the, like Ariel's or, what's that place in, Boardwalk? I mean, it's hard to go wrong with the wedding pavilion.
Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah, Martha's Vineyard, yeah. I mean, the...
No, sorry. I know what you mean. Sorry, I was thinking of Beach Club. Where?
I mean, I guess it also depends on the size of your group. If you have a very small or intimate wedding, which I'm guessing you probably do, Chet, Tom, since you're coming from England, it's not Sunset Point, that's the Polynesian. Seabreeze Point.
That's gone, though, isn't it?
No, not at the Polynesian, the one at the Boardwalk.
Oh, the one at the Boardwalk.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, if you're coming from to the Boardwalk, you'll pass it on your right.
Oh, that, ESPN Club.
Yeah.
That's what the pavilion uses. Yeah. Well, that's what the wedding pavilion uses, yeah.
So that's not a bad one. Wedding pavilion also is a great place. It's classic. You get a great view of the castle. Hard to beat those photos.
It's expensive, though, and the view from the castle is sort of remote.
The other, if you're looking for inexpensive, also Ariel's at the, is it the Beach Club? I'm guessing, given the.
Yeah.
That is another, it's a large space. It's usually not that difficult to get because it's not that desirable given that it's designed.
You know what else you could do at the Beach Club? You can use one of the interior courtyards. You know how the buildings are shaped?
Yep.
Sometimes you get that. Friends of ours have actually got married there in the interior courtyard.
Oh, cool.
And I think that's vastly less expensive than the other places.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which extras are worth adding? You know, for our, kind of rehearsal dinner thing, we did a dessert party at Epcot. That was a kind of a cool thing. It's not that expensive, certainly among the lesser expensive things you can book at Walt Disney World. You could also do other things, like if you want to do, like, maybe the groomsmen want to go, you could go to Richard Petty and go do a couple laps over there. That's kind of a fun thing to do. Yeah. Of course, the spa services for the ladies is always
where was Jaws, Matt? Where was Jaws again?
Which one?
You're just talking about yours?
We did a dessert party in England.
Len, do you remember that? I don't remember being there.
Oh, snap.
No, I don't remember any of that. Do you?
Yeah.
No.
Moving on.
So we're not recommending heteronormative roles. The ladies could go to the thing, too. That's and true. The men could go to the spa as well. So anyway.
How about the birthday celebration place? So, they have California Grill booked for Tom's fiance, but they also, Tom wants something for himself. Boma, Ohana, and Brown Derby already booked.
Dude, those are good choices, man. Trail's End.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I like that. Yeah.
All right. Moving on, our next email is from Butch from Conway, Arkansas.
Butch.
I'm planning a trip to Walt Disney World in November 2015 for my family. At first, we planned to stay off-site. And then we later decided to split up the trip and stay 3 days on-site at Disney World. I went to the official Disney World website and checked rates and found the booking room only did not allow me to add a dining plan later. I called Disney and was told that because I did not purchase tickets from Walt Disney World that I could not add the dining package. Can anyone tell me if this person who told me this is wrong or can this be done some other way? It seems to me that if Disney wanted to make the sale, they would allow you to add dining even if you just bought tickets elsewhere.
So this is it's possible. And what I've heard from people who have done it, it goes back to our first question. Please and thank you go a long way. So get on the phone with Disney and beg and plead and they will do it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you, Len.
Yep.
Next, we have an email from Pat Johnson of Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Len.
Go Rockets.
So what's this I keep hearing about Scopus Pizza? Is it possible he could share his recipe? Perhaps something along the lines of when Len made croissants live from All-Star Vacation Home? Maybe this could be the start of yet another venture for him, and he could post some of his other Italian recipes as well.
That was really good pizza, actually, Scopa. That was deep dish. I mean, the sauce was just perfect. Not too not bitter, not spicy, just the right amount of sweet.
I,
oh, it's beautiful.
I actually, there's a restaurant up here that has asked me to make pizza for them. But honest to God,
it's
really,
really
yeah.
good pizza. It's
yeah, thank you. Pizza. I think the only thing I can say, and I think that I don't think there's any secret to the only thing I do differently than what you see in a lot of places. And I don't know if I told you guys this, but I put the cheese down before I put the sauce on.
I believe in that.
So,
yeah.
So I think that, you know, you need that vapor barrier or whatever.
Yeah. So how do you make your sauce?
It's basically my father and my grandfather told me that you get crushed tomatoes.
Yeah.
And, or you can get peeled tomatoes and you crush them with your hands. And at the base of every tomato is the stem. And you can see a little green piece. You take that out because that adds bitterness to the sauce. Oh, yeah. So you take that out. And then you just crush. You don't use tomato sauce. You don't use any puree. You just use very fresh crushed tomatoes and you just spread it on the, on the cheese. And I don't use oil either. I just use, I just use mozzarella. And
you're not making like tomato sauce or anything. It's
right out of the can. It's right out of the can.
Really?
Yeah, that's all.
So maybe that's it. Maybe there's no other spice. Oregano.
Oregano and a little bit of basil, a little bit of a mixture there, but no oil. It's dried. It's dried.
Okay.
But what I didn't make for you guys, I mean, there's two other kinds that I make. They're kind of decadent. One is spinach pizza, and the other one is. With sun-dried tomatoes. But, oh my God, it's to die for. You gotta have a keg of beer.
I can make that happen, actually.
You bring the beer, I'm supposed to make some in a couple of weeks, a couple of pieces.
Will you share the recipe, though, with our listeners?
Dough, cheese, tomatoes.
Wow.
That's it.
Okay, if that's the case, the Domino's is about to revolutionize.
The next time we're all together, Scope and I are gonna need up like an Italian food cook-off. It's taken me the better part of 3 years, but I've finally mastered my grandmother's sauce recipe.
It takes a while. I mean, it took me 10 years, you know. And my father, my father used to make the calamari, and so he taught me how to clean squid and everything, and stuff it and everything. And I someday maybe I'll make that too, you guys. I don't know if you like squid, but stuffed squid in a sauce.
Do you put neck bones or anything in your meat in your sauce?
My what?
In your sauce? Like when you're neck bones. It's like pork neck bones. It gives it a sort of a richer flavor. Nothing, really. It's interesting. Mm. All right. I'm gonna have to make several sauces for you.
Okay.
All right.
Before we go, I know we spent too much time.
People think they're tuning into like the Splendid Table on NPR.
when I go to a Italian restaurant, Len, I never order any entree. Well, you know, remember we were at, we could tell this story. Well, maybe some other day we'll tell the story. Remember when we were in Tutu Italia with Brian and Becky?
Yeah,
we called Newell and Becky over because you were ordering every entree.
Then
you said, no, you, all the appetizers. Then you said to me, order an entree. You know Italian cooking. And I wanted to say, I never, ever order an entree in an Italian restaurant. I never order in an Italian restaurant an entree that has red sauce because it's not mine.
It's not the same. Yeah. No.
It's not. Papas,
I found a couple of red sauces that I like, but you could tell.
Too much sugar, too much garlic.
I actually found I'll go back and look. I found a really good actually canned sauce out of Brooklyn. That's not bad. Anyway, it was worth enough on this question. Next time we're all together, we'll have an Italian cook-off. Scopa.
All Star Vacation Homes,
All Star Vacation Homes, exactly.
There you go. Newell Italian Fest.
Let's do it.
We'll call it the San Gennaro. We'll do that.
Exactly.
The Feast of San Gennaro at Disney World.
I think some of the All Star Vacation Homes are probably as big as Little Italy right now.
I like it. All right. Oh, maybe we can book, what's her name? That they always have her at San Gennaro, that singer from the 50s.
Patsy Cline? I don't know.
No. Whatever. You guys know what I'm talking about.
A lot of singers from the
family. Yeah. She's still good. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Next email is from Nikki in Longmont, Colorado. It seems I've listened to you answer hundreds of questions about upgrading to annual passes, but because it never applied to me before, I didn't retain any of the information. We're going to the world in May 2015. Our family of four, along with my brother-in-law's family of five. We're technically seven adults and two kids because three of the kids are over 10. We're staying for 11 days, but can only get 10-day tickets. Of course, that's okay, as we would like to spend at least one day at a water park. None of us are going to the dining, are doing the dining plan. Would it make sense for us, for at least one of us, to upgrade to an annual pass mostly so we can get tables in Wonderland? We plan on eating at least 6 table service restaurants altogether, including some spendy places like Cinderella's Royal Table.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll pay for itself in that one trip that'll pay for itself.
Yeah.
Other questions. If only one person is tables in Wonderland, can we pay separately? No.
No.
They cracked down on that. That used to be the case, but they've really cracked down on that. Next, when would you suggest we upgrade, and does it matter which of us does it? I ask because we're guessing the tickets to have to be part of the package for a discount, so we might have to wait until we arrive. Does it matter when they upgrade the annual pass?
I think I'd do it. Don't you do it after you use it for the first time?
Yeah, but you can reserve an annual pass rate room with, like, say, a voucher. Or
yeah, as long as you show it at some point, yeah.
Yeah, you just have to show it, I think, on check-in. And even then, you could be like, hey, I'm going to the park if I show it to you later tonight. You know, again, please and thank you, like Len says.
Yeah.
I understand we have to prepay for things like Cinderella's Royal Table and Hoop-Dee-Doo. How does that work? Yeah. Or do the places not accept tables in Wonderland? Oh, I think Nikki's asking, how does the tables in Wonderland discount work with places you prepay for?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's a good question. I've never done that before.
That's a good question, yeah.
I think you have to tell them when you're making the reservation, don't you? I'm almost positive you do. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you could do it online, but you can definitely call it in.
Right.
And lastly, any other advice that might help us?
Well,
no, I think you've got a pretty good handle on it.
I think I would double check online to see which places honor tables in Wonderland. And which places do not honor tables in Wonderland may honor, this is kind of silly, but I think it might be true. Some of them who don't honor tables in Wonderland may honor the Associated Press.
Annual
pass, which is kind of crazy. If you're going to honor the annual pass, they'll honor tables in Wonderland. But the difference is that the annual pass might get you 10%, whereas tables in Wonderland will get you 20%. But I would definitely go through all the restaurants, take a look at all the restaurants that you plan to eat at, and see which ones will honor tables in Wonderland. You may be surprised.
All right, very good. Well, let's move on to our next email, and that is from Taylor Goble of Fort Collins, Colorado. My cousin and I convinced our families that we needed to take a research trip to Disney World next year before planning trips for our families. Between the two of us, we have been to the world a handful of times. We'll be heading down at the end of September 2015 with the goal of the trip being to take it all in, quote unquote. We really want to feel immersed in the theming and pick up details we never would have noticed before. We're having trouble devising a strategy for the Magic Kingdom. While we still want to ride quite a few attractions, including most of the headliners, we want to take the Magic Kingdom land by land. Any touring suggestions? Which order should we use to see the lands in, or should we just go clockwise, or maybe counterclockwise?
Go counterclockwise, because otherwise you're starting in Adventureland and there's nothing there. Start in Tomorrowland and work your way counterclockwise. You'd be surprised at how well that works if you can get fast passes for your for attractions in Fantasyland, and then just if you can get 3 fast passes, for the first 3 hours you're in the park, and you're willing to do a little bit more walking. It actually works out fairly well.
Also, we're thinking of getting tickets to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and doing Magic Kingdom the same day to make one really long Magic Kingdom day, and also taking a midday break. Taking advantage of the lower crowds that day as well is also a big plus. Any thoughts if this is a good idea besides the financial aspect of buying park admission and party ticket for the same day? Thanks in advance for the help, and sorry for the long question.
I don't know of many people who do that.
The party days are generally not very crowded, so
But
it would be good if you want to go to a party and you want to visit the Magic Kingdom, separately. That visiting on a party day is actually not a bad idea at all.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Very good. Well, that's going to take us to our last question of the day, and that means I give Mr. Newell 3 emails to choose from. One gets read today. The other two go back in the email queue to be answered later. Are you ready, Mike?
Yes. 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 Yes.
Your options are by land, by sea.
Ooh.
Spaceship Earth bloopers.
Uh-oh.
I played Odds Makers with my wife and.
Ooh.
Since it's relevant, we have to do the bloopers because it just happened.
Last email of the day is from Karen Turrell of Greenwood, Indiana. Loved episode 1432. You had me cracking up right along with you. I totally lost it when Mike declared he would never ride Spaceship Earth again.
I remember that was great. I'll never ride this ride again.
Will you be posting or airing the finished version? Love your podcasts.
Oh, it's up. It's been up. Actually, if you can go to stupidjudy.com. It's the only thing on that page. It's a big giant download button. Press it. It's yours.
Yes. And also, the episode originally was aired about a year ago, over a year ago now. If I'm trying to figure out the,
well, if you go to the,
it's actually 14, here it is, episode 1277.
And if you go to the blooper page from this past Monday show, there's an embedded video in there that the audio is synced to, so you can watch.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. You gotta watch it with the video.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can. A lot of people don't go to the site. They just download from iTunes and their
shame
podcast app. So the sites don't get as much traffic as they used to, but we put a lot of little things in there. So you might want to check it out.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
That's right. Very good stuff. It was a lot of fun. And I forgot how long some of things were. Like the caveman scene is much longer in the bloopers.
Yeah. And the Egyptian scene too went on too long, but, yeah. But again, like I said before, Newell did a spectacular job of editing it down. So
why? Thank nice. You.
It works.
Very good. Well, don't forget, we're sponsored today by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'll tell you, people, when you're thinking about all going to Walt Disney World again, you're hearing all these great questions. Be like, you know what? Annual passes, dining. I need to get back down there. And, you know, if you're thinking that and you want to make a trip to Walt Disney World a reality, well, you know what? MEI and Mouse Fan Travel is here to help you plan that trip. After all, they've got travel agents who are experts in planning these vacations. They can make your life a heck of a lot easier by taking care of all those details, whether you're brand new or you're a veteran to Walt Disney World. The bottom line is they're here to make your life easier. And the best part is they are a fee-free agency. Disney pays them, not you. Check them out right now at mousefantravel.com. Hey, also don't forget, live show this Sunday, December 21st. 8 p.m. Eastern time. We'd love to have you over there just a couple days before Christmas. But you know what? There's still time to get in a little Disney World love and give us a call, and we'll talk Disney World together. I think it'll be a great time. We want you to be there as well. More details about our live show at WDWtoday.com. But make a note. Write something on your kids. Whatever you have to do. Sunday, December 21st, 8 p.m. Eastern time. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.